All right, so let's start from Genesis chapter 3 today. We have studied up to Genesis chapter 2. Now I'm going to read the New American Standard from verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." I don't know where she got that "touch it" from, really. Maybe that was what Adam added. So the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, verse 10, he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Please notice very carefully verse 11. "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this," and then the curses began. I will get back to the curses in a moment. So that will be the second half of what we are discussing today. Let's finish chapter 3 today, but we'll continue the reading. Let me just note a few things from chapter 1, from verse 1. Now, the first thing I said, I referred to it last week, that I will answer today as we go on, is a simple question, which is whether that serpent was a snake. Do you understand? It is commonly thought, you know, everybody just assumed that the snake is a serpent. You know, a serpent is a snake. And now, let's just think about it for a moment. It does not make sense. Do you get what I'm going to say? There isn't, look, snakes don't talk. That's one. that's a basic fact. And then, if you say that, okay, maybe they used to talk. If you even look at it, they don't eat stones. They don't eat dust. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because you look at the curses that God placed there later, you will find out that, I mean, literal snake, that's out of the question. I don't even want to sit on that. I think it's out of the question entirely. But there's a reference I just want to give... I try not to be too academic, so I won't go give all the details. But it's just something I want to just explain. Number one, that's to emphasize the fact that it couldn't have been a literal snake. I said something before that other beings, you know, apart from Adam, intelligent creatures, used to come into the garden, wasn't strange to Adam. For example, God himself used to come, all right? And then because Adam will know when he's coming, as we saw further down in the verses, that Adam will hear the footsteps that God is coming. Yeah, you follow what I'm saying? And I personally believe that a lot of things that Adam learns, that's how he learned them, because God taught it to him. For example, I used to think those days that how did Adam know he should cook food? Do you understand what I'm saying? I didn't learn to light fire. I believe that those are the kind of things that God, when he comes in the cool of the evening, like the Bible will say, he will give them instructions on how to do things. Even how to, you know, maybe later on we'll see that, we may come to that, the issue of sacrifices. How Adam learned how to offer sacrifices properly, because he must have taught that one to his children, and Abel learned it, or even if it's not from Adam, Abel must have learned it from somewhere, to offer an acceptable sacrifice to God. Hopefully next week I will look at that sacrifice of Abel. People say that, why was he rejected? It's clear in the scriptures, if you settle down to listen to it, why it was rejected. I won't try to go into it today to distract us. Now, so I'm just explaining that. So that's probably how they learned a lot of the things that they learned. And you will see that, for example, if you see there, the Bible, at the end of the day, when they drove them out, there were cherubs that God placed at the door of the garden to drive away anybody that will come in that direction. I mean, Adam would know that, look, that guy is there, his garden, say we shouldn't come. Are you getting my point? So don't think that the only being that Adam ever saw was Eve. No, it's not so. It's really not so. So I believe one thing that, so Satan himself came in, and there's a scripture I want to refer to just to prove that one. If you quickly open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. It said, and he laid hold of the dragon. What's the next line? The serpent of old. I like the way my Bible puts it. It said, the serpent of old. Who is the devil and Satan? Are you getting my point? Now, when it says the serpent of old, that is, we know about him. We have heard about him before. You are getting the point. And I'm persuaded that that's what he was referring to. So it's not as if one snake came, you know, walking down to Eve and then he lost his legs along the line. Please, I will get back to the issue of the curses in a moment, but I don't want to get too academic. I just want to put this one here for us to understand it, that serpent was not a snake. It most certainly could not have been a snake. Does it make sense? It was the devil that came. And let me say this again. Spiritual beings, all right, do appear in physical form. I mean, do I have to prove that to you? It's like that. The Bible says that some have entertained angels unawares. The people that came to smoke Sodom and Gomorrah, that came with the Lord, they came physically. When Abraham saw them, are you getting my point? He saw strangers coming and he came up to help strangers. And it turned out that he was entertaining angels. When these angels got down to Sodom, they got to the house, and Lot also recognized that these people, don't think he recognized them as angels. He just saw strangers that needed help. And he knew that this is dangerous territory. These people, they have come at a wrong time. So he quickly ran up to help them, not knowing they were angels. Are you getting my point? So that people, angels walking and discuss with people is not strange. And in fact, I have had, not personal experiences now, though I have had situations in which the person I'm thinking about now was either an angel or a spirit of God moved that little girl to go and behave like an angel to deliver me from evil one particular day. But that was not as dramatic as other experiences that friends have shared with me. There's one of them you may have heard me share before. A friend of mine came to look for me. Being an Igbo man, he thought that when a Yoruba man goes home, he has gone to a village like an Igbo man. Unfortunately, Yoruba people hardly go to villages. You know why? Because their culture is not the village culture. They have a culture of urbanization. An average Yoruba man comes from a town that's full of several thousands of people, and we will call that a village. When we say something is a village, you will be amazed at the size of the place. So that day, the young man came to look for me, all right? And that was his first time in Western Nigeria, apart from Lagos, and Lagos is not actually Nigeria. Lagos is... No, Nigeria is in two parts, Lagos and the rest of Nigeria, all right? So that was actually his first time, and he got to my place, and my flatmate, where I was working then as a house officer, told him that I'd gone home. So instinctively, as an Igbo man, he assumed I'd gone to a village. Do you get my point? So he said, okay, let me go to his village and go and look for him. And he knew the name of the place. We were in school together, and he just assumed that he will get there, give a bit of description of... There are certain things just you said you used to describe, and he will ask, and they will tell him where it was. But he thought he was going to an Igbo village. He told me himself later. He told me that the moment the bus that took him from Ado Ekiti, where I was, to Ikare, where he was going, the moment he entered the town, he knew he was lost. Because the vehicle drove like 2 or 3 kilometers from the edge of the town to the motor park. Do you understand? More than that distance. So the guy knew instantly he was lost. When he saw traffic, saw houses everywhere, I said the culture there is urbanization. People tend to live together. It's not today it started. You know, the last week I went to Oshobo. It was my first time in Oshobo. There's something clicked in my head. That every time you go to Yoruba town, you always see two sides to the town. The old town and the new town. Those towns have been dead for hundreds of years. That's just the way they've been. That's how complete place like Ibadan was said to be the largest town in West Africa. It's growth of new developments that outgrew places like even till now, it's difficult to beat Ibadan in size. Do you get what I'm saying? That's just the culture there, all right? So now, because he came from a different culture, he just got lost. As soon as he got to the place, but what saved him was that he the beginning of his salvation was that my flatmate happened to be from another part of Ondo State then, now in the Ekiti State, that a family friend who is a doctor and owns a clinic in the town comes from. So while discussing, he just said that, well, if you get there, look for this particular hospital and then ask the people. They may be able to help you. So when he got to when the bus dropped him, he came out of the motor park. He looked around, asked direction, please, how do I get to this particular hospital? They were able to help him take a bus from here. The bus will drop you when you get there. Still, it's in the same town. You have to take a bus to go to the hospital. He got there. He made the first mistake. Asked the receptionist, please, I'm looking for Bankole, that's me. Asked for my family, and the receptionist just shook her head. Sorry, I don't know him. He didn't remember to ask for the owner of the hospital, and then he would have gotten good help instantly. So he came out to the road. Oh, this is a problem. It was getting late. He entered the town. It was already getting dark. He said, came to the main road at 7:30. Now, I've started talking about angels. That's why I brought this issue up. And he said, he just stood on the road. Not get my point. This is his first time in Western Nigeria. He said he looked and didn't know what to do. And I just turned to one man beside him. I said, please, I'm looking for Bankole. Just give me my full name, my former names. And of course, if you know the way it is, Enugu is much bigger than Ikare is really, but you can imagine, let's just take a segment of, you just get to maybe Okunanu area, you stop on the road, ask of somebody, you know, the man's going to look at you funny like, sorry, I don't know who it is. I mean, why should I know? Is it the governor or the local government chairman? Or what is he? Do you get my point? So, of course, now this, why did I tell that story? He said at that point, one man just walked up to him and said, who did you say you are looking for? He told him my name. He said, his father used to walk here, you know, describe something. The boy said, yes, I think so, yes. I think he remembers something like that. And I said, no problem. Take a bus from here. Go when you get to this particular place, drop. Cross the road. You'll find a particular eating joint. Enter the place. The woman who owns the place is from Mawo. That's their hometown. Ask for him there. Now, he found him by 8 p.m. He was at my door. You know, by the time somebody was speaking English, asking for me at 8 p.m. I remember I was eating that day. I heard somebody asking my mom, please, I'm looking for Bankole. My first question my mother said is, from where? This is from, it's night and you're speaking English. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, it's night. So he just said, from Uma here. He actually came from Uma here. I just shouted, of course, the sound of my voice must have brought relief to his soul. And I came out from the dining area where I was eating. I went to meet him. Now, why did I tell that story? I have thought about that thing again and again. At the position somebody... Look, I know there's a possibility that God planted somebody who knew me there to overhear him asking somebody else. But I don't know. I put 75% of my odds on it that an angel stopped and gave him directions and left. Up to 75% sure of that. But I'll give you another story that a friend of mine told me recently. That he said, when he was telling me the story, he said till now, when he's telling the story, this happened years before, that he still gets goose pimples on his body. He was a farm rep in the north. And if you've been to northern Nigeria, you know, that's why people quarrel about these census figures. If you are going from maybe Guzo to Sokoto, you are going to travel like 3 hours and there's no town on the road. You might find one or two villages. And I imagine you are traveling in eastern Nigeria for 3 hours. You know, you will have crossed all even Chinese men say before, don't pass them by then. But this one, you will travel for 3 hours and there is no settlement apart from one or two villages on the road. So that's the kind of distance you used to cover. Like when I went to Sokoto, from Abuja to Sokoto is 8 hours non-stop driving. So it's like one of those days, he joined his church on one intensive fasting program. He was badly hungry. He was driving. He was tired. It was hot. And then suddenly he had a flat tire in the middle of nowhere. He said he came out, looked at the tire. He was about to faint. No food, nothing. And he didn't have the energy to start doing that thing. While he was still contemplating, two malams walked out from inside nowhere. You know, they just suddenly just saw there were two Aboki, you know, like you say Aboki. They just came out and said, ah. And they were speaking English. Any problem? Oh, you have a flat tire. Okay, Mo, help you jack him now. They went down, jacked the tire, changed the tire. All right? And then, while he stood and watched them, and then when they finished, he said he remembered they had some crisp notes with him. He thanked them and gave them one. All right? And they said bye-bye and walked back into, like, I won't say bush because there's really no bush there. Just walked back to the, you know, the shrub from which they came, where they were walking or something. He said it was after he left, he thought about it. One, what are the odds of having two people like that showing up suddenly out of nowhere? There was nobody else around. And then secondly, they spoke in English. And last of all, he turned to his seat and his money was back there. He said that money he gave them, when he stopped, where he was going, he looked and the money was lying right on his seat beside him. When he was telling us the story, he said till now, when he tells that story, he still trembles. That as he's talking, his voice almost starts shaking and goose pimples will appear on his body. No, these are not, if I don't want to bore you with stories, because that's not what we're discussing today. I could start recounting stories and stories and stories of people who have been protected by angels they couldn't see, but their opponents could see. Are you getting my point? So look, listen, it didn't start now. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I believe that very, very, very strongly. And in fact, I'm happy I shared that so that you will know that indeed God is watching over you. There are so many troubles that God has physically used angels to deliver you from, but you will never know about. What's the point? God is, like I always say, God is not romantic. You know, we are the ones that want to tell romantic stories. Stories that touch. Are you getting my point? I'm going to say, as I was going, then the angels appeared. In fact, the wing just blew breeze on my face. Say, oh, very spiritual child of God. Look, God is not interested in those stories. Once he has delivered you, he has protected you, he's okay with that. He's not trying to get any, remember, that kind of glory, not vain glory. All right? That's not what he's looking for. Now, so things like that do happen, and I believe very strongly that in the Garden of Eden, is something similar to that. In fact, you will see that I believe that God prepares bodies for spiritual beings to use, and that's why you will see that angels will appear sometimes as human beings. Not everybody that walks around that's a human being, no, I'm telling you. In fact, some of them, I think they even rent houses. I don't know any, don't think I know any. But no, when I've read my Bible, I'm considered. As you see, just know that, in fact, let me just say this one, it might surprise you, it might confuse you. It might confuse me too, but let me just say it. You know that Adam fell, and Eve ate the fruit and drove Adam into it. It didn't take God by surprise. I perceive that God allowed the whole thing to happen, all right? To bring a final, and we're going to get there in, maybe I should even leave it till we get there, but well, since I'm on it now. When God said that he shall bruise thy head, all right, and you shall strike at his heels, bruise his heels, I believe that that was a purpose, a major purpose for this particular creation. The devil had to be terminated permanently. And if you know the way God does things, it doesn't just... Look, it follows some very, very strict order, and it appears like the order for destruction of Satan, all right, involves some of the things going on the earth today. So he knew Eve was going to fall. He knew all this problem was going to come, and he knew that Jesus would have to come as a result of that. And notice this, something came to my mind as I was thinking about it, that you notice that every time God will want to cast out, and Jesus will want to cast out demons, you see something, the Bible says he will say he tore him or he rent him sore. You get my point? The evil spirit will tear the person, throw him into fire. Jesus will just say, relax. This thing is on his way out. In fact, there was something that Derek Prince said once, that why did Jesus permit that the legion inside that man, the madman of Gadara, that why did he allow the demons to enter into the swine and destroy those animals? He said, well, he can be dogmatic about it, but that he thinks that it was almost like a negotiation, that normally going out, they would have wounded that man terribly. That the way they could pass out easily was to step down into the swine. And that Jesus considered it and said, okay, go, to spare the man all the hassle. That was what Derek Prince said. I wasn't there. Do you understand? There's a man of understanding. All right? Now, so there's a reason why I'm saying that. So I believe that all the turmoil and wars in the world that you see is part of that final death throes of the devil, because he's about to be destroyed permanently. That is why you see Jesus will tell you things like that that Satan knows that his end is near, that you see him intensify tribulation, intensify wars, intensify troubles, because he knows that the end has come. Are you getting my point? So I believe that when Adam and Eve came on the scene, he began to perceive that the end had come. So that's why he began this last, you know, fight. All right? But of course, the purpose of God will definitely stand. And, you know, God was just watching him, not knowing that the things that he was doing was were the very things that God will use to pass the final judgment upon him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, that's just by the way. Although we're going to get down to it later anyway. Now, so what we are saying now is that, let's just get that clear. Snakes don't talk. It was not a snake that walked up to Adam and Eve. It was actually a being like that they could recognize and talk to. And it wasn't the first time they were seeing people like that, or somebody like that. And I'm very sure. If you read the Bible, it said the Satan can come as an angel of light. Look like a bright being. I don't want to take into academic details. You'll have seen the study of that Hebrew word describing the luminous nature of the being that he was talking to. It was like an enchanter. He came, attracted the attention of Eve by certain mechanisms. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But we're not going to go into all those academic details. But so having established that, let's just go on to what we're saying. Now, there's something I said I will show to us while we study this. After Satan asked Eve the question, and Eve said that we can eat anything, but we cannot eat from the tree in the middle of the garden so that we don't die. In fact, Eve added that we should not touch it. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Now, please listen to this from verse 4. The serpent said, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, verse 6 now said, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her." The people said that means that he was standing nearby. No, I don't think so. Not at all. Because the Bible gives a summary a lot of times. What he was saying, that her husband also ate with her. That's what he was just saying. Doesn't mean that Adam was standing by while all this was going on. No, I don't accept that. Now, the man also ate. And then verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." We're going to come back to this, but this is what I want to understand here. Notice verse 6, that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Let me ask you a question. Was that the first time she was seeing that tree? The answer most certainly is what? No, she has seen the tree there before. She has seen the fruit. But you see, in her mind, what the tree and the fruits thereof showed her was a picture of death. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, things are going to go wrong if you eat this thing. It was clear in her mind. Now, there's something I want to say here. You know, I mentioned it the last time we talked on this. I want to explain it now. That there is something here that we must note. I have said this before, that the way we try to control life is not oftentimes the correct way to control it. Let me give one general statement I heard from Oswald Chambers, and I'll develop it from there, just to use it to illustrate. Oswald Chambers says that you have the right to choose your actions, all right? But the consequences are not, you don't have the right to choose. That is, if you plant mango tree, you cannot harvest cashew just because you desire cashew at the time of harvest. That the time to choose what you will harvest is what? The time of planting. Now, a lot of times we think that refers only to the results that come to us in life. Incidentally, it also affects our actions. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Somebody says something, I think it's George MacDonald, or one of those great men of those days. He said that the degree to which David, that his heart deviated from God when he took Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, was the degree to which his heart was not with God as a young man. Now, the point he was making is this. Let's take this, I'll use Kenneth Higgins' illustration here. That is, if you see a plane, you know the way you are flying a plane. I don't know how they do it, but I can imagine this. I did physics. And you plot your vector, okay? If you miss that straight line by just, you know, there are 360 degrees in a circle. If you miss it by, let's say, 1/10 of a degree, and you travel just 1 kilometer, you may never notice. The deviation is so small that it might not even shoot you off the runway. Do you get my point? But if you were to travel maybe another 100 kilometers, listen, you will be landing in the sea, not anywhere near the airport. That is, that small deviation, when you project it over distance, which in our own case now will be time, all right? That is the time of life. When you project over that distance, you will see that it will result in a great, manifestation, a great error. And you will wonder that, why did David do this? You know, I say this again and again. Sometimes you look at people and say, why is this man so stupid? It's not his fault. I'm telling you, don't look and say, this man is very stupid. In life, Judas couldn't help but be stupid. I don't know whether you're following my point. The stupidity of Judas at the last moment was not a matter of calculation at that point in time. Before that time, he had done things that had committed him to foolishness. Therefore, you will tell the man 2 plus 2 is 4. And no matter how much you talk, in his heart, there is one extra figure that is fixed. So he keeps on telling you 5. You will beat him on the head. The man insists it's 5. Are you getting my point? You couldn't reason with Judas not to do that job that day. You couldn't. If you try to explain, he will tell you that, listen, can you remember when he tried to throw him from the cliff that day, when he called himself the Son of God? Say yes. You know what happened? When he got to the edge of the cliff, Jesus just turned and started walking back. A lot of them just froze like Mugu. Listen, they can't kill him. He said, Judas, it's not right. He said, wait, that's one instance. Remember that time we're inside the boat? We heard that it was all those babalawos in Gadara that made that man mad. They wanted to avenge the deliverance. And they stirred up the storm against us. Waiting happen. Oh, Peter just went and said, Baba, wake up. And when he just woke up, he just like, shh. Yeah, you see, you do believe anybody can kill that guy? Now, we'll just make quick money. Let's go. Ah! You will quote scriptures for Judas. Now, what am I trying to say? He will have enough explanations to do what he wants to do. Do you get my point? That is, wisdom is a gift of God. It is not intellectual abilities in a man. When we say wisdom, that is the ability to know the right things to do at certain times. That is wisdom, is a gift from God. And when I say gift from God, I mean for certain reasons, God will either give you at that moment or he doesn't. I quoted something from Job the other day when God was talking to Job and explained that, you see the ostrich. Do you know why he lays his egg in the sand and walks away? He doesn't care whether anybody tramples it down. He said, because I refuse to give it wisdom. Are you following my point? Please, I'm coming to something. This is what I'm saying. So you see, Absalom had to do what he did because there was a spirit. No, Absalom couldn't help. Oh God, I pray you understand what I'm saying. When Absalom ganged up against his father and dethroned his father, he couldn't help it. I've explained this to you before, that the reason why David did not shout, the reason why David just kept on running, the reason why when they were cursing David, he said, leave them. The reason why was because Nathan told him that God has forgiven your iniquity, but this thing you have done, it cannot go like that. You know, like I say all the time, people like to just say sorry. I don't digress into that now. Sorry must have meaning. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't let me even go into that again at all. David couldn't just say sorry and get away with it. He said, God said, okay, no problem. I have forgiven you. That's what Nathan said. God has forgiven you. He said, however, because you have caused the name of God to be blasphemed all over the place, the sword will not depart from your house. This is not, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. We're just rectifying the problem you caused. Do you understand? A person of your caliber, we can, David, I will give you grace to bear it, but this thing will happen. What you did in secret, I'm sorry. Openly, they will do it. David, I'm not angry. We're just trying to solve some problems that you caused by that action. I'm not angry, you know. No, read the New Testament. You know that God was not angry with David. David is God's very good friend. God said, you're my friend, but you go pay. You go pay. You will pay. You're my friend. I will give you grace to bear it. Now, what am I trying to say? So when all the calamity began, David was watching. Other people were saying, Absalom, how could you, Absalom? How could you, Absalom? How could you have, could you? But David was looking. He knew there was a spirit that was instigating Absalom. Now, I'm not trying to say that Absalom did not have his own culpability in it. He did. You have to open a door for Satan. If Absalom was not that type of conniving and deceptive person that he was, Satan could not have used him. Do you get my point? But even though he were like that, if his father did not sin the way he did, and if God did not have to bring that judgment upon David, you would never have known that Absalom was like that. He probably would have lived to a ripe old age and then died one day without us having any serious record about his life. Now, I have not forgotten where I started all of these things from. I'm coming to something. That was sometimes, so you see, human actions are not dictated by will, the last moment. Do you get my point? There are many things that are involved in dictating the action of somebody. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are many. I've given the life of David as an example, how the actions of people like Absalom was dictated by something bigger than them. And Judas also. All right, because of things they had done in the beginning. So I quoted that Judge MacDonald to let you see that he was saying that there were earlier times that David could have rectified that problem in his heart. And let me say this to you again. God is very, very, very kind. God is love. Do you get my point? Listen, I don't mean to scare you. Do you get what I'm saying? But there are bad things in your heart. You can confess all you want. There is one small thing that's inside your heart that God has to remove. Because that is the only way you can get to certain places that he wants you to get to. That's the only way you'll be able to do certain things that he wants you to do for him in life. I want to say, how will he remove it? The easiest way is for him to show it to you that it is wrong. And then you will confess it, and then there will be a cleansing of all unrighteousness. But I wish it was that easy for everybody. Are you getting my point? David said, this is the way it works. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey thy word. What am I trying to say? David knew he was a good man. There was no doubt that David was a good man. But God looked and said, this good man has a bad stain in his heart. He has not acknowledged it. This is love of women. Marry one after the other because I didn't talk. You think it's okay? Okay, I'll be watching him. Listen to me. God can't tell you what you're not ready to hear. Are you getting my point? Now listen. Abraham, who is the father of faith, he married only his wife. It was the woman that even led him into trouble with the other woman. But David, once you tell him that man's husband, that woman's husband has died, he said, go and bring her, let me console her. That's how he was married one person after another. God never sanctioned it. He didn't talk, doesn't mean he liked it. Are you getting my point? In fact, that man, I think it's George MacDonald I'm quoting again. He said that is why Solomon married the number of people he married. It's a gene he read from his father. Now, so that's what was inside the heart of David. The only way God could pull it out so that David could die without that thing inside his heart. Because if he did, there would have been something worse for his generations afterwards. Are you getting my point? The only way was God to allow that thing to manifest. So one day God delayed him for one reason from going to battle. He must maybe felt tired. Because if this man went to battle, he won't do anything wrong. I've kept him from evil all this while. Listen, that prayer is very vital. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I used to think it meant don't let evil come upon us. No. What he was saying is that deliver us from doing evil. Don't let us do evil. Read it in context. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What he was saying is that we must not be the ones to do evil. Most of the things you have not done in life is because God delivered you from it. Are you getting my point? Listen, the other day I was in Lagos. I went with my chief. Went to go and see the chief prosecutor from, I think, Ogun State, or one particular area of Ogun State. And she told us one of the cases she was prosecuting. Listen to what happened. The young man, listen, a vulcanizer, these guys that repair tires, and a mechanic. They just had a small quarrel. So, boy, give me my screwdriver. The guy said, I've given you back. Now, listen, that's all. Give me my screwdriver. I have given you back the screwdriver. No, you haven't. Yes, I have. Yes, no. No, yes. Bosa, slap, kick, fight broke out. And, of course, people rushed. Ordinary screwdriver people are fine. They separated them. And as the organizer was walking away, he saw a bottle. He picked the bottle, broke it. Look, I know he didn't know what he was doing, and stabbed the other guy in the neck, and the guy died there. By the time they arrested him, he had come back to himself. He didn't know what was going on. Here he was on trial for murder, because this one, this is not America. You can plead temporary insanity in America. In Nigeria, nothing like that. In anger, he took the bottle and stabbed that guy in the neck of all places. What is wrong with his buttocks? That's the best place. I know Lagos. No, Lagos area boys, they know how to stab them. The street fight. They know where they stab. My friends was giving me those days when we were in school. That the boys, they know. They stab themselves in the thighs and in the buttocks. Are you getting my point? Now, this guy just went and killed this boy. That was what Jesus meant when he said, pray, deliver us from evil. So that we will not do evil. That's what he was saying. I told you once I watched a program on the, I don't know which channel now. But true story, an FBI man, his son, killed a young man and a young woman. Later on, when his father found out he was the one that did it, he asked him why. The boy said it was not me. When he said it wasn't me, he knew it was the one that killed them. He said he didn't know how he killed them, why he killed them. All he knew was that he took his gun and shot the two of them. We preach a message. If you don't have it, go and get a copy. Overcoming evil spirits. That's what we're discussing then, in that one. Deliver us from evil. I'm still trying to explain this thing, that people's actions, is not just that last moment. There are spiritual forces. Oh, hey, are you getting my point? So that day, what happened to David? God just said, let's leave him. Let him manifest his evil. Because if he doesn't manifest it, he will die believing that he's tried. Are you getting my point? God was just watching. God knew what was going to happen. Bathsheba came to Bath. I don't think that's the first woman that's bathing in Israel that David is seeing. But that day, the restraining power that a man wouldn't do evil was not there again. Let me say this to you, partly because of pride. That was why, look, I'm adding many things together. That's why Paul said, those of you that are spiritual, if anybody be overtaken in a fault, those of you that are spiritual, he said, restore such a one back, He said, fearing lest you yourself be tempted. We're talking about two great American preachers. Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. Their case is should write inside the Bible itself. The next generation of this, they should add one chapter for modern, there's Old Testament, New Testament, and then Current Testament. Modern Testament. They should put Acts of the preachers. When Jimmy Swaggart was, Jim Baker was arrested for mishandling money, which part of it came to be because, is it 5 or 10 or 15 years before that, he had a 5-minute or 10-minute affair with a girl he had never seen before, Jessica Han. Never saw her after that day until they appeared on Larry King Live together. I believe that girl lies. I think she's a professional. She claimed she was a virgin. I don't believe her. I believe the man of God. Do you understand? I read his own account. All right? Let's not go to that side. That will not concern me. But this is the point. Jim Baker tried to explain that. He's not saying what he did was right. He said, but people shouldn't say he was having an affair. That's not right. Do you get my point? That's a misrepresentation of what happened. Adultery, yes. But affair, no. I had never seen her before. Are you getting my point? There was one stupid man of God. You see, all these psycho fans that hang around men of God. The one day, Jim Baker just said in passing, his wife was misbehaving. And that's why I always say, don't use bad things to joke. It's not good. He just jokingly told the guy beside him, I said, this woman said, it's because I'm a very faithful husband. If I were to have an affair now, I'm sure she will shape up. No small joke. And they continued. That Satan that was beside him pretended to be a man of God, never forgot. He said that, well, if this is going to help the man of God's marriage better, we shall arrange it. He was the one that went to arrange Jessica Hano. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, anyway, for your information, God killed him shortly after with meningitis. It's not Satan, it's God. Shortly after that, the man had meningitis and died. Now, when all the whole wahala broke out, Jimmy Swagger came on air. We have to purge the body of Christ. All these cancers that are growing in the body of Christ, we have to purge them and cut them away. Jim Baker is a cancer in the body of Christ. He was shouting, and he was the second. Jim Baker was number one televangelist. He was number two televangelist. See what envy and pride, jealousy. One man looked and said, Even if this man sinned, this one you are doing is wickedness. So he said, people like him, they are never straight. No, that's what that man said. People like this, they are never straight. He just hired somebody to follow him for a few days. And they found out that Shea Jimbeka was not an affair. It was just something that happened. But this brought so now regular practice. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That, look, what Paul said, it was not a joke. He said, those of you that are spiritual, restore such a one, because he understood the power of what Jesus meant when he said, deliver us from evil. Do you get my point? So David, there was no power to deliver him from evil that day. That was where his problems began. So God allowed that thing to happen so that David could come back to God in true repentance. And then God could now cleanse him of that unrighteousness. That's why I will now pray that, restore a right spirit within me. Are you getting my point? Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. The man really, really prayed at that point, and God said, fine. Now everything is okay. Now this is a good man we've been talking about. Not one that will be deceiving himself. You know, because Nathan showed it. The guy said, here, you took sheep. You don't even have mercy on the poor. I will kill the man. Because they look at self-righteous man. Self-righteousness. After he finished delivering the judgment, Nathan said, you see yourself. You want to kill a man because he took goat. You took a whole human being. What do we do to you now? Do you get my point? David was a good man, basically. He did not know that degree of wickedness was inside him. That's why God allowed that to happen. I hope you are getting my point. Now, you know, I started all of this by reading one simple story. Eve. I have not left it. So you see, I'm using that Eve to explain that people's actions, all right, is not just at that moment that they take it. Do you get my point? Now, recently I did something and it looked a bit silly. I told my wife at the end, I said, having considered everything, even if everything went wrong, I still don't regret what I did. Because when I was doing it, I was really, literally trusting God. She's wondering what I'm talking about. Are you wondering? Or you know, okay, you know, it comes back to your mind. All right. I said, I literally was trusting God. Even though it appears silly, but I think I was trusting God. But at the end of the day, I don't think the thing came out badly. Now, this is the point. Let's now get back to Eve that started this whole discussion. I said that, Satan said that, can't you see that fruit? It will make you wise. Eve had been seeing it before. It didn't look like she should eat it. Let me say this. She had never been tempted to eat it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been tempted as an adult to go to, you know, those Nepa installations that they put a head, a skull, and two bones? Eh? Have you ever been tempted to go there and go and touch it? Let me just see what will happen. One truck is coming. Just tell your friend. What if I stand in the center of the road? See that truck that's coming. I just stand in the center of the road. Let's see what will happen. Listen, though, that's not only inside movie. Now people, you go jam, you go still survive. You yourself know that in real life, they don't try such things. Why? See, the picture of death from that thing is setting in your mind. If you do something, it's because you are not so sure yet that you will die from it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like those who play the Russian roulette. You know what they call the Russian roulette? You know, a revolver has six chambers. You fire off five, and you roll it. You don't know where the last bullet is. You put it in your head, and you pull the trigger. It's because you know that the chances of surviving is 5 out of 6. It's quite good for a stupid man. Are you getting my point? So...